CPV Radio, Central Texas. You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Cover your cough or sneeze. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. And remember, you're safer at home. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by Live 365 and this station.
What's good, radio family? The Psalmist Voice Radio Network has an all-star lineup just for you. Just pick your flavor. Starting with on Sundays, the Psalmist Voice Reloaded at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, followed by Cell Life with Michael Ceballos at 4:30 p.m. Mondays, The Grub at 12 noon. Darcy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Tuesday, Victory Over the Weights of Life with Sister Deanne Labrine at 6 p.m. Fridays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4 p.m. Saturdays is our triple hitter, and it starts off with Saturdays for Beth with Sister Lorraine Brown, followed by Brother Now Presents with Pastor Gene Homer at 4 p.m. and Loda Bar Nation with Sandra Grace at 7 p.m. The Psalmist Voice presents by appointment only. Coming soon, TPV Radio's open mic, open to all pastors, preachers, and artists, and we're going to get it in to be announced. You can also catch us on Live 365 24/7. Just search the Psalmist Voice Radio Network and you're in there. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
At Javina Distributing, we got your covering for your winter and summer needs. One size fits all. To order yours today, please message them on Facebook at Javina Distributing or call 616-929-2991 or 517-489-6923. Or you can order from the website www.allsportsheadgear.com and type in promo code Siron2020 to receive 20% off your purchase. Let's get it. Let's go.
At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair, like our face, foot, hair, and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the...
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago right now on TPV Radio.
Your brother, your cousin, your nephew, of Real Talk, Pastor Byron Segal.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Hey, it's your brother, your cousin, your nephew. Hey, this is Pastor Byron Segal of Real Talk, and I am so excited to be back with you guys on this Thursday for our episode 5. I think it's 5, our episode 5 of Real Talk. We were off for a little bit because TPV Radio had some improvements that they had to do, and those improvements are to make the experience that you guys listen to every day much better. So big shout outs to TPV Radio Network for taking that time to make those improvements and continuing to make improvements on what they do, so your listening can be much better. But again, hey, I want to send big shout outs to TPV Radio Network, Pastor Chris Newton, Lady Shanice Newton, for all that they do for all the listeners around the globe. And again, hey, this station right here is not just a local station; it's a worldwide station. So big shout outs to them. Much love to them. And I want to shout out my wife, Lady Sago. Hey, I appreciate everything that she does for me and her support. I want to shout out my kids. I want to shout out everybody that's listening, Light Hope Fellowship Ministries, Blessing on the Block Community Outreach, everybody that's involved. Hey, I really, really, really appreciate you. So here we are again. We are part two of, we're talking about men of domestic violence, men of domestic violence. And again, this is a issue, but this is not an issue that many people want to talk about. And if you saw part one of this issue, I talked about some statistics and some numbers that will help us understand why men of domestic violence is an issue, because it is an issue. It's an issue, but it's an issue that's not addressed as much as it should be, and it should be addressed more than what it is. Now, let's go back to the excuse many people say of why the issue is not addressed as much as it should be, is because, one, according to statistics, they say that men are not as prone to report domestic violence. And I got that. I understand that. And why don't they report it? They won't report it because people won't believe them. A, people won't believe them, and B, they don't know where to go to report the issue. They have no idea where to go to report the issue. So there's three things. There's A, B, and C that's stacked up on top of that. All right? A, they're a victim. B, they don't know where to go to report it. And C, they don't report it. So all of that goes back to them being a victim. C, they don't know where to go. B, they won't report it. And A, they are a victim. They are a victim. And before this slips my mind, I want y'all to know that here coming up in October, we are in the planning phases of, we're going to have a community forum that's going to be set up right here on the TPV Radio Network's Zoom forum. And we're going to have a community men of domestic violence conference. We're going to talk about this thing. And if anybody that wants to be involved or come on to be a part of that conference, you're going to see our flyers and our information as we talk about this. But this is coming up real, real soon. And I think that this is something that the community needs to see and the community needs to talk about and the community needs to address. And I, again, like I told you before, this issue is not, we're not making this issue out of a man or a woman issue, but what it is that it's an issue that has that has fallen to the wayside. It's an issue that has been pushed under the rug. It's an issue that is not addressed like it should be. It is not addressed, all right? And you see all types of organizations. You see all types of assistance. You see all types of discussions, and they always discuss the subject of women of domestic violence. They discuss that subject because it's a subject that people recognize with. When you hear domestic violence, the first thing that comes to a person's mind, the first thing that comes to a person's mind is a woman being a victim. And that person that's doing that domestic violence is a man. That's the first thing we hear when we hear a woman was involved in domestic violence or a person was involved in a domestic issue. The first thing comes to our mind because that's what we're used to hearing. We're used to hearing that a man is being assaulted by a woman, or I'm sorry, a woman is being assaulted by a man. That's the first thing that comes to our mind. And we got to get out there. We have to look at the bigger picture. Now, are there a lot of victims that are women? Yes, there are. There are a number of women who are victims. A great number of them. A great number of them. But just like that great number of women that are victims, there is a great number of men that are victims, as well. There's a great number of men that are victims. All right? But the numbers don't show that. And just because the numbers don't show that, people don't talk about that. And the reason people don't talk about that is because they think it's not a problem. They believe it's not a problem. And again, like I said in part one, people always say, oh, yeah, absolutely, we know it's a problem. Yes, absolutely, we understand it's a problem. And people got that, but do people really understand that it is a problem? Do people really get it in their head that it is more of a problem than we think it is? It is more of a problem than we think it is. All right, and I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna talk about some of the numbers that, and again, these numbers aren't my numbers. These are numbers from research. All right, and my goal was to have a subject matter expert that was gonna come on and was gonna talk on tonight, but there's some things that came up and she was unable to come on and be with us on tonight. So it's me continuing to talk about these things, okay?
Hello, so, Pastor. This is Sandra. I'm sorry that I'm late, but I am here, so I have arrived.
Well, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Ms. Sandra Grace is on the line. Of Lodabar Nation, Sandra Gray. I'm so happy to have you. I'm so excited to have you on, and I appreciate you coming on. And I know you're really, really busy. I was just telling all the listeners that, you know, you have some things that you had to take care of, so you probably wouldn't be able to be with us on tonight.
Well, I made concessions because this is a great subject. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. So since you are on, hey, tell the listeners about who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Sandra Grace Martinez. I'm a licensed professional counselor here in the state of Texas and have worked in several nonprofits, and I have worked at a women's shelter before. So I have not only experience in working with women, I also have experience working with domestic violence victims, which can be male, female, it can be children, it could be, you know, an independent. The CDC, believe it or not, the Center for Disease Control actually plays an integral part in keeping statistics on this particular issue that plagues our nation. Now, they actually have a very interesting way of titling domestic violence, and they title it as intimate partner violence, or IPV. So that has become not yet, it hasn't really caught on. It's they changed it probably around 5 years ago. I used to live in Bell County and started a task force actually in Bell County to address the needs of the community. So I recall doing my best to understand it from a scholarly perspective and utilize what I knew in terms of intervention, and it was successful. And there were many situations, household domestic violence, where police couldn't figure out who the perpetrator was. And so sometimes they just took both of them in, male, female, and et cetera. So that experience has given me the confidence to speak on this particular issue.
Great, great. And I'm glad you brought that point up too, Ms. Sandra Grace, when you said that, you know, domestic violence is not just limited to a husband or a wife or male or female. It also it goes down to the children as well, or the extended family. Even there's extended family that's living in one home. It trickles down to that extended family as well. So I'm really, really glad that you brought that up as a bigger definition of what domestic violence is as a whole. That was really good. So now you know the subject we're talking about, right?
Yes.
So let me ask you this first question. So why is this issue, why is this issue, because it is an issue, we're talking about men of domestic violence, why is this issue seem like it's not an issue? But we know it's an issue, but why does it seem like it's not an issue?
There's several reasons why it doesn't become the issue that we have been programmed to consider as a victim of domestic violence. It automatically, we are programmed to think of the party has to be a female, or it's a gender-based victim. The victimization is going to have a gender, and right away our brains are programmed to see it as female. And as you said, there are several that are female, but not limited to. So in other studies, we have partnerships where with same-sex marriages, where we have a cluster of domestic violence within the female community partners, or partners that live out in our community, and they're females. So we do have that. You know, we have that reality, and it's in small numbers only because they are hesitant to call the police. And as men as well that are in partnerships, they're also hesitant to call the police. So there is an underreporting of domestic violence among the LGBTQ community for reasons that, you know, of course, that may make their gender identity or their orientation known to the rest of the community by default, and that's something that they do not want to risk. So they're underreported. And so that the numbers are skewed when we look at those. But I just wanted to put things in perspective that in LGBTQ communities, you have a high prevalence of domestic violence, and it's underreported. So when we think about your traditional family, and tradition, I say in quotes, because there's families that are blended, you know, that step parents are involved. Now with COVID and our economic situation or crises, we find more people living under one roof. So more families are living under one roof because it's less expensive and they're just trying to survive. So there's really not one simple response other than the default of we hear in the media, we are programmed to think of a victim as a woman because they're considered more vulnerable, because they're considered, more at risk. So it's just, again, programming that has our brains default, you know, and that's not necessarily the case in many of these domestic violence issues.
Now, do you think there's a way to, and I know this is a broad question when I say this, do you think there's a way to deprogram that out of people's heads, or is that just something that just is ingrained in our heads as people in general?
Well, I think now is better, the best time in our society. We are changing. I see it as pre-COVID and post-COVID eras. Right now we're in the middle of it. But I'm secure in saying that post-COVID will have a lot more insight into human behavior. And the way it begins is educating on violence, and that it's not just one group of individuals. It's not just one race. It's not just one economic status host of people. It's not anyone that's affiliated to a political party. Violence does not discriminate. So because we all are human, we're programmed a certain way. And so the reprogramming begins now with education. It begins now with being aware as to why men typically do not file assault charges against someone. And it's different justifications. It's not an excuse. They have justifications not to do so. It can be anywhere. I mean, it can range from the spectrum of ego and pride and not being the laughing stock of whatever, you know, they may believe that men don't cry, men should, you know, need not go down that road. So I think it starts with educating now about violence in general, and that violence is not an option, regardless of gender.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So awareness, kind of like what we're doing now, and I do have something planned here. I'm planning in a couple of months for a forum of kind of like a community forum that talks about domestic violence and not, and so the people can be aware that this violence and this domestic violence is not, it's not a man or a woman thing. So I'm in the preparation of getting that Zoom conference together, and you and I will talk offline about that, that actual conference. But I think, like you said, a really, really important thing you said is awareness and education, because, and I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chandra Grace, I think that more men may or may not feel the need to talk about it more once they understand that it's not right, and you don't have to worry about your pride. You can push your pride to the side, or you can push your ego to the side and get the help that you need.
Right. I think you touch upon now what is a mental health care crisis, and I will give you some very good examples that I've actually encountered in my day that can give the audience a glimpse of how these things are. It's a subtle way of, it is violent, and it is a subtle part of the control wheel. So there's this wheel out there, and it's called the control wheel, and it's usually given to women regarding how do men control women. But I think as of late, it's no longer just for women. It just says intimate partner violence, and it just divides it into victim and victimizer. So as far as taking it to perpetrator. So the way that I have seen in practice a man being abused is not the type of abuse of black and blue, and it happened, but not as much as these other ways I saw a very systematic way of controlling a man. And it was very covert by the woman. So not all women are unstable, but there are some women that were brought up and have been in a traumatic household, or they harbor some ill will. They haven't forgiven themselves. They haven't asked for forgiveness, and that becomes their poison. So they live with this poison, and they move towards wanting a relationship, as we all need someone in life, not necessarily to survive, but we're just creatures and that want. And so the Bible says it's okay, you know, we want
right.
a family and things and so on and so forth. So if a woman has not worked through their trauma, they will project some of that to the individual that they are with, and it could be very subtle at first, and then it can become very overt, and then it could end in tragedy in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So from a mental health perspective, you have an individual in this setting. We're talking about women. Women is a perpetrator of abuse does not necessarily, like I said, begin with the physical abuse. It begins just like a male would, and that is controlling something. So it could be controlling the finances in the family, saying things like, I'm better at this than you are. And I'm not saying that that may not be the case. That could be the case. Maybe they are better with finances. Okay, I get that. But when they're starting to give a certain amount, you know, they want the whole check and they're going to do with, you know, so there becomes this subtle, I'm going to control the money. So there's a financial control, and then it becomes a subtle hint of hurt, hurtful words, verbiage such as, no one else would love you the way that I would. No one would put up with you. If you leave me, I'm going to take the children. It'll be things like even as passive as like, oh, you're just such a stupid, you're so stupid, you're stupid. You know, things like that that, people might think, oh, they're just kidding. There's a little bit of boundary, like they just push that boundary. Rather than saying, hey, I don't like when you call me that. That's something that we need to stop. It just becomes part of their dialogue. And so that just, the boundaries are pushed. And so it goes both ways. But a female can push him to the brink of, of terrorizing a man. Especially if that man can lose a lot. And I'm going to give you some very, very real examples. And they're frightening, but they're real. So best to talk about something I've seen than to come up with something I, haven't seen. So I'll give you a very good example. Example number one would be a man coming out of prison who is on parole. They go and end up living with their perhaps partner, wife, girlfriend that takes them in because they need a place to stay and it's part of their parole. So they have to be there and, there is, if that individual that they're living with is not work through their trauma and is unstable, behold the wrath. Because at any given moment, that individual can call the parole officer. When I was a parole officer, many times I would get calls from girlfriends saying, he's in violation of his probation. He left last night and he was out all night and I don't know where he's at. And, I thought to myself, why would you do that to him? He's working, he's providing, and then I would have to call that person in and it was he said, she said, and then they would come in like, no, I'm going to do an affidavit. I'm going to sign an affidavit. And then I had to act on that. And so there was this another level of power of their freedom, And that is, I cannot underscore it. Hopefully in this forum that you're going to have to discuss the risk factor with shacking up or getting together with the wrong person while you're on parole, because they right. may take advantage of that, because yeah. that is a form of ultimate control when they have your freedom in their right. hands. So I would have right. women come to my office and sign these bogus affidavits about how they were treated and how they think they were selling drugs. And I had to do what I had to do in order to keep this offender parolee off the streets, because now I had an affidavit to contend with. So I have that. Those are true stories, and that's a big risk. And so the second thing I've noticed, I'm going to go from one spectrum of population to another spectrum. So the spectrum of the military man or woman.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
Military men have a lot to lose. A lot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I have had people in my office. When I worked in Belton, Texas, I had an office, in my little office out in Belton. And I would have people from Fort Hood that were high-ranking colonels. Not many colonels out there, but there were. And lieutenant colonels or battalion commanders would come to me off the record, off TRICARE, off of Military One Source, because believe it or not, if there is any domestic violence in the home, as a provider, you have to disclose it to TRICARE or Military One Source. So I always preface it with what you say here, legally in Texas, stays here, but you're using your insurance, and I have a contract with them, and they need to know. It is something that I've agreed to as a provider. So most of them came in off the record, but not using their insurance. And the stories would range in a variety of ways. However, some of them would be where the wives they had their soldier leave and go to Afghanistan or wherever they needed to go overseas. And then, again, these are true stories. And the soldier would come back and the wife have a lover or other things going on that totally against the relationship, and there was friction. And so there would be a lot of arguing. And so the weapon that the woman would use would be like clockwork. It was like pre-programmed or something, you know. If you leave me, or if you, you know, don't keep providing this check that the military gives us and leave me, I will tell your commander that you slapped me. I will tell them that you hit me and manhandled me. And that's enough to scare the wits out of a soldier. And so again, that now a woman that is not a woman that is stable, a woman that has worked through trauma, there's no perfect woman, but someone that is a Christ-centered woman, has morals and values, is not going to say something as inflammatory as that. But those that do usually have issues that they haven't worked through, and the way they can control their surroundings is by threatening, because that is the way they've learned to control their world. And so it does affect, and, you know, it's at that point, we're not, you know, we can't say, well, let me pick up the phone and call the police and say this woman's blackmailing me. It's your word against her. So you have to take a step back and think, what am I willing to lose? Because I could lose my entire livelihood if I don't deal with this person's
right. Absolutely, because I was telling a lot of listeners the last show that we did, well, part one of this, as I retired from the military 2 years ago, but I was in military police my whole entire 24 years. So those type of things that you just talked about, especially when you talked about the officers, as a military police, we responded to a lot of those things. And I've responded to a number of domestic violence calls, but you would never realize when we get there, and we're there to begin a report, when there are soldiers, male soldiers, who were who are attacked by their spouse, their wife, you really wouldn't believe how many male soldiers would say, well, no, I don't want to do a report, or no, I don't want any information taken down. Because now at this point, when this happens, when we take a report, all of this, what we call the blotter report, goes to the higher level of commander. So
right, it is.
It will be.
That's on base,
yeah.
And you're talking on base. And that,
yes,
they have to go through the family center. The family, is it the family counseling center, or they got to go through that? They have to. I mean, mandatorily,
yeah, they have to go
to that one center. Because I remember we would work with them in the community. They would come, and we'd worked in tandem with them. They had, if there was any, I mean, it didn't matter if you were pushed on the bed, boom, you had to go. And you and your family have to go and fill out 100 pages worth of all kinds of stuff, screeners of PTSD, of depression, of alcohol, substance abuse. It was a nightmare. And then now you're in the system. Now you're in the system.
Yeah.
And, God forbid, that you are living on the outside of the gates of Fort Hood and something happens. They'll call. I mean, I've seen where people are called in and their weapons are taken from them, based on an allegation. And, I've seen it. I've lived it. I know it. They will not want to press charges. It goes both ways. But
yeah.
We do have we cannot minimize that female inclination of some females that have been through trauma and want to be in control to weaponize the what they know about what can happen to their soldiers. They will cut themselves at the knees to get back at their loved one and not care one bit other than, ha, I got you, but then later on they're like, oh, wait a minute, now we don't have income, or now I can't even ask for child support because you have no job, And it is extensive. It's twisted. It really is. It's twisted, and it's, again, a form of control, like I said, from parolees all the way to, colonels or lieutenant colonels out in Fort Hood that I worked with that were like, I don't know what to do with this woman. She's crazy. She's absolutely out of her mind, and I don't know what to do. She yells at me. She throws her phone at me. But I cannot do anything about it, because if I do, I am going to lose rank. I'm going to be flagged. And God only knows if by the time police get there, it'll all turn on me. And it has. I've seen cases where it turned on the victim.
The soldier. Right.
Yes, the soldier.
Right.
And so I am not going to minimize that reality. There is power in knowledge of how the woman can affect the career of that serviceman.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. It's a two-part question. So why is it that there isn't enough awareness of this fact? And again, like you said, really, really great, violence across the board is wrong, and that's one of the things I made sure that everybody understands, that violence doesn't matter if it's man against woman against man against children, whatever. We're talking about violence against anyone is totally, totally unacceptable. But my two part question is why is it there isn't enough awareness to the fact of men are victims of domestic violence too, and does the lack of awareness is that why men don't know where to go? Because you can look and see around any corner, you can find where women can go. Women of domestic violence have places to go. And I'm sure there are places where men can go, but they're not as well known as women. So do you think the lack of awareness is why people don't know this and why men don't know where to go? And I'm not talking about military. We're talking about in general. Is the lack of awareness the reason why this is not well known and men don't know where to go when they are victims?
Well, of course. Generally, they'll end up going to a family member or a friend's place. Where get kind of interesting for, because I worked for a shelter, and we once had a man come in with children. He came in, it was bizarre because, you know, he was a man and it was a woman's shelter. But, you know, the county had called and asked us to please house and give him the same opportunity as we did others. And we did. And that's because he did call the police. He was black and blue. She did pull out, you know, a weapon. And, you know, she couldn't be found. So he decided, because of his kiddos and not knowing many people in the area, decided to come to the shelter, and they did let him in. So now, even though it's a woman's shelter, I would always call, I mean, that is not necessarily just for women. Someone could call, a man can call the shelter and ask if they have a place for them. You'd be amazed. We have had, they're not, even though it'll say a women's shelter, the men can call as well. So it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they should not consider that. You never know. We've had young, very young marrieds, like they're married, they're 17-year-olds, and we had a 17-year-old young teenager, a young man, stay with us at the women's shelter as well. So it's, even though it's, I said, a women's shelter, and there's other places here in San Antonio where I live now, there are places where it's men and it's women, but it's more of a homeless shelter. But people do at times come in because of domestic violence issues, no doubt. Now the awareness part, I, as an educator as well, like to, you know, I have to think about where we learn about right and wrong, about what's acceptable and unacceptable. And that begins at a very early age. And so violence is not ever an option. And in our school system, where our kids spend a majority of their life, you know, between kindergarten or even maybe pre-K, all the way, you know, God willing, till, you know, they graduate, they, in the formative years when they're young and right around 9 and 12 and 13 years of age, is a great time to instill that it's not okay for women, you know, to hurt men. And those are things we don't teach at school. We teach a lot about bullying, so we are making some headway. You know, we are making headway when it comes to bullying. But there's nothing, the word bullying itself means that you're verbally instigating, you're verbally aggressive, you know, and towards someone else. Well, that bullying can go into adulthood. Now, why some men take it and not do much about it could be also that they were raised with an authoritative type of mother. they tend to, or a caregiver that was abusive verbally, perhaps even physically, God only knows, maybe even sexually, but there was a level of abuse, verbal abuse. And not only that, not many people discuss this one thing, because this is the one thing that keeps people in really dysfunctional relationships. And we'll hear it first here in your podcast. And that is emotional neglect. They didn't get what they needed. And so they're seeking it, and they believe that what they do get is what they deserve. And
right.
So they have to go through their process of healing their experience as a child. So emotional neglect is different than emotional abuse, because abusing someone emotionally would be saying things like, you're worthless, you're never going to amount to anything, you're ugly, telling kids these things. And where neglect is, you just don't, they're not worth their time. They're just not, their parents are so self-absorbed that they're on their own. So, kids end up doing some really interesting things when they have no sense of love and attention and time by their caregivers. So they'll launch into adulthood believing that they're not worthy, of good things. They're not worthy of accolades. And, you can see that sometimes. You can tell a guy, you're really handsome, you're really smart. And they're like, oh, I'm not. No, that you're, they'll, rather than saying thank you, that's kind of a litmus test of how they may have been treated as kids.
Right.
So
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I think that, since this is a Christian podcast, I have to say that it is evil to know that you are hurting someone verbally.
Yep.
And so it is knowing better but doing worse. So
that's good.
And I just wanted to bring that that's my definition of evil: knowing better but doing worse. And then emotional neglect puts a man at risk, women as well, but men primarily, for verbal abuse and, other types of abuse. And that is where I would start. I would start with our young kiddos and talking to them not only about bullying, but, it's not okay for a young lady, in the monkey bars to hit a young man that may have autism or something with a and laugh. I mean, it's not okay.
Right.
So, it starts at a very young age. And I'm glad that we've kind of broke the glass with the word bullying. That's, now a pretty big deal in the schools.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that our generation, our new generation of kiddos, will have be more self-aware of when they're being bullied by an adult, especially someone who says that they love and that loves them.
Right.
That's my hope.
And it's a couple of great things you said too, Sandra Grace. And I know we're almost out of time, but there was a couple things that you said that were really great when you said that it's evil, especially when a person knows that they're doing wrong to a person, or they're doing wrong in general, and you don't want to fix yourself. I think that it's evil, they may not have a relationship with God. They may not know God, and it may not be anybody to tell them that, hey, you're wrong. But when people do that and continue to hurt people over and over again, and they know it's wrong, You know, God is not pleased with that. We know God is gonna is the one that's gonna fix that in the end. And another thing you said was about starting at a young age, and you're absolutely right. I know coming up when I grew up, you know, I was always told that you don't hit girls. You know, that you don't hit anybody, you know, unless you're protecting yourself. If someone is doing something to you and you have to protect yourself, then that's different. But as far as insinuating the hitting of anybody, especially a girl, I was always taught growing up that's not right, and you don't do it. And I would get in trouble if my parents were told that I did do it. So, you know, especially if it was a girl, you know.
Yes, it's inappropriate.
Absolutely, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate, and it's wrong. And you said absolutely that awareness has to start at a young age. And once we get to a certain age, it's hard to kind of change us of a lot of our ways of thinking, because we're so set in our minds that in our ways of thinking. So it's difficult to change that. But as a child,
it is difficult. I do agree. But if we set the intention of doing something different, the ripple effect, especially if you're in a capacity that people listen to you and respect you because you've shown respect and compassion, then you become that teacher, and you'd be surprised how many people want to emulate who you are and what you believe in. So we just need better leaders. We need better we do need those that are willing to go out there and spread the word, and that's exactly what you're doing. So I commend you for that.
Thank you so much. Well, Sandra, bears me. This was a great conversation. I wish we had more time, but we don't. But definitely, I want to. I'm going to put this out in the air, so I still want you to think about it, but here's my official invite to you. And I know you're very, very busy and only if you're available. Once we set this forum up, I would like you to come on as being one of the speakers. This is going to be a one day, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hour conference. We're going to open it up to the community, and I would like for you to come on with your expertise just to be able to enlighten and educate the people who might come on to the forum, you know, about domestic violence as a whole, and kind of talk about men of domestic violence and how it is prevalent. So that's just
absolutely. It'll be a privilege.
Okay, and we'll definitely get you that information once all the planning. We're in myself and Pastor Newton, we're in the planning phase right now because it's going to be on their Zoom form. So once all that's settled, we will definitely get you all the information and make sure that date is good with you. It will be on a Saturday, but we'll get all the information to you. So, but hey, Sandra Grace, thank you so much for coming on. Hey, I appreciate you. You have educated me, and hopefully you educated all the listeners. And again, hey, I appreciate you. God bless, and we will be in touch. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, that is my friend Sandra Grace of Lodabar Nation. I will tell you, check out her show. When you hear her show, you will definitely be educated. She will drop some deepness on you that you have never heard before. She will drop some signs on you that you never heard before. She's a wonderful woman of God. She's an educated woman of God. She is proud of herself, and she will teach you if you listen. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate everybody that's turning on and listening later or listening now or whatever the case might be, because you already know. Hey, this is your brother, your cousin, your nephew, Pastor Byron Sago of Real Talk. And hey, anytime you want to talk, we'll talk. I salute you.
Go, I ride for kingdom come. You just a demon, son. You'll never outshine the sun.
Never.
Lord, let your will be done. I'm so gangster with this gospel.
CV Radio, Central Texas.